I'd like to introduce the next presentation. It's by Ethan Brodsky. Ethan is a resident of Madison, Wisconsin. He's a graduate of the University of Wisconsin with a degree in double E. And his current position is really amazing. He is a scientist for development of MRI surgery at the University of Wisconsin. His presentation is going to be titled Buzzball. And Ethan, can you join us on stage?
Well, thanks. I'd like to thank the organizers, the judges, the sponsors for putting together this great event and my presentation, the Buzzball. So I've loved aviation since childhood. I've been coming to EAA since I was a little kid. Flew radio-controlled airplanes as a teenager. Got my pilot's license 4 years ago. I fly a Wag Aero Wagabond Traveler, and I'm building a Sea Ray Amphibian. So the motivation for my project is stall spin accidents. It's not a new problem. Wolfgang Langwiesch wrote about it back in 1944 in Stick and Rudder. AOPA wrote about it 10, 15 years ago. There's thousands of pages of NASA and FAA reports talking about what to do to prevent stalls and spins and how to train pilots to avoid them. So it's a hard problem. Why is it a hard problem? We've got the turn coordinator. It's one of the simplest instruments in an aircraft. And if the ball's not in the center, you step in the ball. And if you keep the ball in the center, you're probably never going to spin. So what's wrong with the turn coordinator? The biggest problem is that you have to look at it. The visual system's already busy when flying. It's especially busy when you're task saturated. If you're in the pattern, you want to have your eyes outside looking for other traffic. It's a passive instrument. It tells you whether the aircraft is flying coordinated, but it doesn't alert you to hazards, like other alert systems, like stick shaker or stall warnings. So the focus of this work is to build a digital pilot aid that senses the ball position and provides active coordination feedback through the pilot's sense of touch, which is highly underutilized in aviation. So the hypothesis is that providing additional coordination feedback via the sense of touch will increase a pilot's ability to recognize and correct uncoordinated flight, reducing the incidence of loss of control due to uncoordinated stalls and thus saving lives. So what is coordinated flight? Very simply, it's when the direction that the airplane is pointed doesn't match up with the direction that the airplane is going. And we define this side slip angle, beta, when it's zero, the aircraft is coordinated. So what's wrong with uncoordinated flight? The big issue here is that it increases the risk of spinning if stalled. So how do we measure coordination? Again, the turn coordinator is one of the simplest instruments in the aircraft. It's very similar to the bubble level. Very similar to a bubble level that you'd use to hang a picture on your wall. If the load vector is pointed straight down, the ball is centered. As the load vector moves left to right, the ball moves to follow it. And so if we sense the lateral acceleration, which is very easy to do with modern solid-state electronics, that's directly related to the ball position. So what does the buzz ball do? It senses the position of the ball, and then it buzzes a little vibrating indicator mounted in the seat to notify the pilot which foot to step on. So if the right buzzer buzzes, you step on the right rudder. If the left buzzer buzzes, you step on the left rudder. So how does it work? Of course, there's a computer involved, and we've got Arduino-based platform. There's three boards, Arduino Uno on the bottom, the middle board's inertial measurement unit using the STM LSM303 chipset, and then the top is a motor control board. Altogether, these boards cost $3,130. At Amazon, and they're all prime, so you can have them by the time you get home if you want. A little bit harder part was building the buzzing indicator to go in the seat. First, I started trying to make my own. I used these tiny little vibrating motors out of pagers. They were terrible. You could barely feel them. Then I took the DualShock vibration motor out of a Sony PlayStation 3 controller. It was even worse. Then a friend lent me some really expensive precision DC brush motors, and I made my own eccentric weights by cutting up a bus bar from the fuse panel in my house. And these were great. You could easily feel them. When I held them in my hand and turned them on, it felt like I was being shocked. They were hard to mount. I couldn't really come up with a good way to mount them. I drove around with them in my truck for a while, but I never found a good way to put them in the airplane. And they also got really hot if you ran them for more than a couple minutes at a time. Not so hot that they were going to burn up or set anything on fire, but hot enough that you didn't want to sit on them. So finally, I realized that I should use something meant for this application. And a friend told me that GM had a haptic seat motor in some of their newer Silverados and Tahoes and Cadillacs. And it's part of the driver alert system. It's a lane departure warning system. These are in the seat, and when you go out of your lane without using a turn signal, they buzz at you. So they're great. And I mounted them in a knee cushion that I could set on top of the seat in my airplane for doing testing. So here's all the materials in there. The software, it's pretty straightforward. It was written in C using the Arduino environment. It samples the accelerometer at 400 hertz. It converts it to a ball position. There's a 250 millisecond filter. And then at 10 hertz, if the ball is outside of the dead band, then the left or right buzzer goes. Here's a depiction of the ball position at which the buzzer currently goes off. Full source code is online here. I'll have the URL up again later if anyone wants to look at it. To calibrate it, I put my airplane up on a scissor jack, and I gradually tilted it on the ground in my hangar, and I recorded the lateral acceleration measured at each of the ball positions are in quarter ball increments from 0 up to 1, and that made a pretty good linear curve. And then I tested the system through 5 hours of flying over 18 flights, and each flight was data logged. So here's some data log depictions for good coordinated turns. And so I did a slow right turn, a quick left turn, slow right, quick left. And the bottom trace is heading. So you can see I started at 0, went to 90, went back to roughly 0, then turned right 90 again, then turned left roughly 90. And the upper graph, the red trace down the middle, that is the measured ball position with a quarter second filter. And the red dotted line is the point plus or minus 0.375 threshold. And then on the top and bottom, there's some red and green dashed lines. Those show when the buzzer was going off. And so you can see as I started the right turn, there was a little bit of momentary left buzz. And then in the middle of the turn, it looks like it maybe buzzed for half a second or so. This whole graph here is 90 seconds. So each horizontal tick is 15 seconds. So we have some occasional buzzes, as I'm not perfectly good about keeping the rudder in the right position. But in general, the system's pretty silent. For uncoordinated turns, the story is different. And so first I've got a left turn with slip, and you can see that the left buzzer is going off pretty much continuously, saying that I need some left rudder to keep that turn coordinated. Then I did a skidded turn to the right, and again, there's some left rudder there because I'm making that turn with the rudder. And then that third one, I did a completely flat turn. I kept the wings level, put the rudder all the way to the floor, and turned the plane very, very slowly. Looks like about 40, 50 degrees to the left. And you can see that the right buzzer was going off continuously then. The biggest challenge that I ran into is that aircraft vibration makes it very hard to sense acceleration. There's a lot of vibration in my plane, especially the cargo deck where I mounted it resonates quite a bit with that vibration. And it's hard to measure 0.1 g's of lateral acceleration when there's 1 g of noise. So first, I'm a software engineer. I did a lot of software filtering, and it worked. But I'd get spurious buzzes every 5 or 10 seconds, and it was really annoying. I eventually realized that I could use some of the elastomer mounts for quadcopter cameras and some foam tape and some extra mass, and that made it a lot better to the point where I very rarely get any spurious indications, especially with some extra software filtering. But still, if you look at that graph there, the faint line there is the raw signal coming in, and there is still 10 times more noise than there is signal, but software filtering is great. So in the future, I'd like to do more flight testing. I'd like to add an SD card slot to do data logging. I'd like to put a GPS in there to log time and speed, build a dozen or so of these, put them in all my friends' airplanes, and then fly them for blocks of 10 hours of the system turned on, 10 hours of the system turned off, and look at the data logs and try to figure out whether, do some good statistics to try to figure out whether coordination performance is improved with the system turned on and whether it leads to lasting gains in coordination performance. The biggest open question that I have right now is this a training system or is it a warning system? So initially I thought of it as a training system, and I was experimenting with having the buzz threshold come down over time. So after 4 seconds of steady state, it would go to plus or minus 2 on the ball threshold. And this was great. I flew around in cruise, and it was the most coordinated I've ever flown. Like, I could keep the ball exactly in the center. I never had to look at the gauge, but when I looked down, it was exactly in the center. But after 20 minutes of this, the ball completely loses its urgency. Like, I stopped noticing when it went off, and I never would have noticed if I'd been making, got distracted and was gonna spin it in on a base to turn final. So maybe it should be a warning system. Maybe it's better that you pick an unsafe level, and I don't know what level that is, and only warn above that level. And then there's a question, is it should be asymmetric? Should we allow slips but not skids? Should we only activate this at low speed and not at cruise? And there's interesting questions where warning alerts are really only effective if they warn of an actual hazard, and they quickly lose effectiveness if they go off spuriously. And they need to break through distraction, they need to break through mental clutter, they need to break through tunnel vision. And there's a lot of good research going back 50 years or more showing that the stall warning, just the buzzer stall warning indicators that you find in most light aircraft are only about two-thirds effective in having pilots notice them. Just to sum things up, the buzz ball has the potential to reduce fatal stall spin accidents, perhaps can be a good training tool, and just more generally, critical feedback needs to be conveyed actively, not passively. Warnings need to break through distraction and mental clutter, because if they're going off, it's likely that something's going on and you're not flying as well as you could. Existing instrumentation is almost solely visual and oral. The pilot's sense of touch is highly underutilized. It's a very low-cost innovation. The initial prototype cost me $49.45 to build. The current version was a bit under $170. It's extremely easy to install. You plug it into your lighter socket. The cushion sits on top of the seat. You can put the electronics anywhere in the cabin. You could probably temporarily put it in a normal category aircraft. In a glass cockpit system with a little bit of software, you could get rid of all the electronics modules and just have the seat cushion. So everything you need to build your own is online right here, buzzballsafety.com.